Praise the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear friends, we are reflecting on the mystery of the cross from various angles and aspects. We have been discussing the call to discipleship issued by Jesus on the way to cross. And we have also analyzed one of these characters, Judas, who miserably failed in the discipleship. Judas was a character specially chosen by Jesus, one of the 12, the closest collaborators, closest followers of Jesus, one of the apostles. He was given special duties as carrying the funds, managing the funds of Jesus. And he was seated at the right hand, the closest to him at the Last Supper, and was given the morsel, the choice bread, and still he failed. Because Judas became a vehicle of Satan. He opened himself, or he left open himself for Satan to enter, to manipulate and use him as an instrument in the hands of his enemies. An apostle who failed, an apostle who turned traitor, a person who was called to follow Jesus unto the cross, now hanged himself. This is a total disaster, so it would seem, of the apostleship. A great danger that remains as a warning to all who would follow Jesus. Today, I would like to present another character, Peter. Peter the apostle, one of the 12, chosen by Jesus, made the head of the apostolic college. In all the lists of the apostles, Peter stands first. And all the gospels tell us how he was chosen, what his profession was, and how he followed. More than any other apostles, we know details about Peter. He was called Simon, son of John. He had a business, a flourishing fishing business in Capernaum. He owned a boat, at least one, if not more. He had his own nets and he had his employees. He was a married man with a house, wife, and mother-in-law. A person, a well-to-do person, who was called by Jesus. And John tells us that Peter was brought to Jesus by his brother Andrew. And on seeing this brother, Simon, Jesus gives him a new name. You will be called Peter. So this is Peter, specially chosen like any other, a person who was chosen to be the head of the apostolic college. But we know, following the story of Peter, Peter also had his own failures, his own shortcomings. miserably he failed. A person who was called to be the rock became flexible like a wax. A person who boasted that I will go to prison, I am ready to be imprisoned and even go to death with you, finally ended up saying, I do not know that person. Renouncing, denouncing, reclining, denying Jesus, not to know that person because he was afraid. A person who was called to be a rock became a person who deserted and denied his master. Not just one time, but three times. A person who miserably failed in his apostleship, it would seem. Similar to what happened to Judas. But there is a great difference. A great difference between Judas, who betrayed Jesus and hanged himself, and Peter, who denied Jesus and repented and became the cornerstone, became the foundation stone, so to say, the head of the apostolic college. Both were loved by Jesus, both were chosen by Jesus, both failed, but one was saved, and that is Peter. Let us examine a little bit the character of Peter, who he was, how he came up to be a disciple. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 40 to 42, one of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Cephas in Aramaic means a rock. So this is a kind of prediction. Jesus looks at Simon and tells him that you will be the rock. And this Peter, this Simon, has to go through a great formation. He abandoned everything, and his house became a kind of headquarters for the Jesus movement. Jesus, who left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, apparently was living with Peter. And Peter's house became a hub of all movement. Everybody was coming. Maybe it was his roof that was taken away when a paralytic person had to be brought in and they could not find a place at the entrance. They removed the roof and let down the person with the pallet. So Peter opened his house. Opened his house to Jesus, and he was open to everything. And then he traveled with Jesus. Participated in everything. He was so close to the master, he was ready to give anything and everything, give up. There was a time when they were caught up in a storm, the dark, stormy sea of Galilee. Jesus was not with them. After the multiplication of the loaves, Jesus had sent them out into the Sea of Galilee, and there a storm was hiding. And in the storm, when they were struggling, they saw a figure coming out over the waves and roaring of the waves. They saw a person coming. And in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 32, we read, "Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" This is Peter. Seeing the master walking on the sea, over the roaring waters, he tells the master, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He wants to be with the master, with the Lord, always. Whatever be the risk, whatever be the troubles he has to go, even to the cross, "I want to be with you." and he doesn't care what happens around him. He doesn't look at the sea, the raging waves and the roaring sea. He wants to be with the Master. And as long as Peter has his gaze fixed on the Master, he walks over the waters, over the waves. And he walked over the water. But the moment he looked around, lost his gaze of the Master, he started sinking. This second Peter. Peter who walks on the water and Peter who sinks in the water. But he is in despair. He calls out to the Master. When he sees that he is going down, he shouts, "Lord, save me. Kyrie eleison. Kyrie soson." The Lord has to save. Peter is not asking Master. Peter is calling him Lord. He believes that Jesus is the Lord. So Peter's faith, even when it is floundering, even when he is going down, he cries out. This Peter. Peter who walks on the water and cries out when he is sinking. And this is the faith of Peter that was proclaimed when he was questioned, asked. At the middle of the public ministry, towards the end of the Galilean ministry, Jesus may ask this question to the disciples. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and following. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but the others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." It is Peter, Simon, who makes the answer. As a representative of all the disciples, when everybody was wondering, doubting, Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And this is an expression of faith. And Jesus assures him that what he said is true. And it is not a normal understanding. It was not a human understanding, the intellect that prompted this answer. Jesus tells him it is the Father who revealed this truth to him. Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church." You are Peter. Peter comes from the word Cephas, and it means a rock. Petros, Petra. So you are the rock. The faith that you expressed is an expression of revelation. God the Father has revealed this truth to you. And through receiving, accepting this revelation, you manifest the character. You are the rock on which the church is going to be built. The church has to remain firm. And Jesus is building his church, Jesus' church, on the rock, that is Peter. Of course, Jesus is the true foundation, and Peter is appointed by Jesus, not without Jesus, nor against Jesus. "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." That is, the gates of Hades is the powers of evil. So the church will stand firm, founded on the faith of Peter. Founded on the rock, that is Peter, by Jesus. "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Binding and loosing is a power to bring people into the kingdom of God. Binding and loosing, closing and opening, the same thing. So Peter and the church founded on him has to function as the medium of bringing people into the kingdom of God, as the medium of bringing forgiveness and the love of God to the people. So an exalted, sublime mission has been entrusted to Peter. This is one side. But on the other side, this Peter who is declared as a rock, now the next we see him as the spokesperson of Satan. When Jesus speaks about the impending death, the passion prediction, Peter recoils, not because any hatred about passion, but because Peter wants to save, spare Jesus of this suffering. And then he unwittingly becomes the spokesperson. Satan is speaking through you, Peter, Jesus said. So this is the possibility. Peter who is weak, Peter who is strong. An enigmatic character as any human being. A person who is totally in love with Jesus. At the same time, a person who can be tempted. This Peter was given a warning at the Last Supper. In chapter 22, Gospel of Luke tells us, verse 31 following, Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Including Peter, all the apostles will be sifted and many will lose their faith. There was a need of a conversion, a turning back, even for Peter. Once you have turned back, once you have repented and converted, come back, you have to strengthen your brothers. That is the role of Peter. A Peter who strengthens his brothers. Peter who strengthens the apostolic college. Peter who remains as a rock and guides the church. And we know what happened in the life of Peter. Jesus had foretold not only that Satan would sift the apostles, but that Peter explicitly would deny him, not once, but three times. I read from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 36 to 38. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. All the four Gospels report this prediction of Jesus, that before the cock crows, Peter will deny Jesus three times. And it actually happened, we know. Jesus had asked the disciples to keep watch and pray in that night, the last night, in Gethsemane. Jesus had taken three closest of his companions, Peter, James, and John, as he had done on that night on the Mount of Transfiguration. So also here in the last night, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had taken all the disciples and then chosen three particularly, Peter, John, and James, and asked them to keep watch and pray. But they failed. They were sleeping. When Jesus was in agony, struggling, and sweating blood, Peter and the disciples were asleep. And when the time came, they somehow tried to protect Jesus. And it is John who tells us again that Peter drew the sword in John chapter 18, verses 10 and following. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Peter, instead of praying, instead of keeping vigil, finally ends up being a criminal, using the sword. And that might be one of the reasons why he was so much afraid when he was caught in the high priest's court. When Jesus was taken to the high priest, Peter followed at a distance and entered the court. When Jesus was put on trial, Peter was warming himself. And there he got into the whole trouble, denying not once but three times and under a curse. So Peter, who was following Jesus, at the same time keeping away from him, is the ambivalent picture of Peter. Peter who sleeps and Peter who wakes up. Peter who strikes the slave with a sword and then runs away. And when he is caught, he denies with oaths and cursing, "I do not know the person," because he was afraid, a normal human being, a coward, in fact. And this story comes to an end when Jesus turns and looks at him. In Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62, we have the entire story of Peter's denial. In verse 61, we read, "The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." He went out and wept bitterly. This is the difference of Peter. He failed and he betrayed and denied the master. But when he was reminded of the warning and when he became aware of his sin, he went out and wept bitterly. And that bitter tears washed his heart clean. Not like Judas. Judas went out into the dark, and Peter went out into the day. Judas' betrayal led him to suicide, and Peter's denial led him to repentance. There is a chance. The Lord gives a chance again, and that chance is reported in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. It would seem John has added this particular chapter. In fact, many Bible scholars say chapter 21 of John is as a kind of appendix. John seems to have added this chapter explicitly to present the character of Peter. Peter, who had denied Jesus three times, now is given a chance to confess his faith again and again three times. It is after the resurrection. They had realized that Jesus had risen, but still, after some time, Peter goes out fishing. Chapter 21 starts like this. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to him, 'I am going fishing.'" A strange thing. After all these experiences, he is going back to the business that he had left. The boat and the net he had abandoned, now he is going back. Not alone, he is carrying, taking all his companions with. The disciples following Jesus, they say, "We also come." He is a ringleader again. And away from the promise of the master, away from what he had all taken up, now he is going back to the same trade. But it was a miserable night. They did not get anything. And when the day was breaking, they saw the stranger at the shore asking, "Children, have you got anything?" And their nets were empty. The nets were as empty as the first time Jesus met them on the shore of Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee. Luke reports us in chapter 5 how Peter encountered Jesus with empty nets. And then how the nets were filled. This story repeats again. Many scholars would think that this is the same story reported in two places by two evangelists. What will be the exegetical part of it? One thing is clear. Peter is given a sign. And then he realizes that it is the master and he wants to reach the shore as fast as he could. Chapter 21, verse 7 and following. "The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards." The same impetuous Peter. He wants to be with the Lord, at the Lord's presence. And he comes there. And the Lord gives him a command. "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Peter is again the leader. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, representing all the fish in the sea. 153 items or species of fish there are. That was the old science. So the 153 fish filling the net seems to represent the church, and Peter is given a chance to haul the net ashore. And then comes the question. After having eaten to their fish, to their fill, Jesus asked the question, "Do you love me?" Not once, but three times. Peter is given a chance to repeat again and again his love for the Master. But then there is a change. At the first, Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" It's a comparison. First, more than this. And Peter says, "I love you." And then again, and the third time, Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" It would seem strange why Jesus is asking three times the same question. But if you look at the Greek original, it would seem the first two questions are asked with the Greek word agapein, agapao, a divine love, a totally selfless love, a divine love. And Peter is replying with another word, philein, an emotional, affectionate love. And Jesus comes the third time asking the same question Peter was answering with the philein. And then Peter is shattered. Is he again being questioned? Jesus knows everything. So Peter somehow is given a chance to confess his total dependence and total love for the Master. So his repentance, his humility, his love is being declared. And then he is given the duty of guiding the flock. So here Peter stands as a model of love, as a model of repentant love, as a model of humble service. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as our Redeemer. Like Peter, we also have very often failed him, betrayed him, denied him. But still, you give us the chance to affirm, to assert our love to you. With Peter, repentant Peter, we also affirm our love. Lord, you know everything. We know that you know that I love you too. Father, we thank you for this great gift of repentance and the second chance of returning to you. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.